Good evening. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
It sounds weird to me. That's why I was like, oh, that sounds weird. All right. Well, thanks for coming out tonight. We're going to dive into some announcements, and then we'll get into time of prayer before we move into our continued study through the Gospel of Matthew. And so a couple announcements tonight I want to make sure you guys know about. Obviously, don't forget about Bible studies going on. I want to make sure you keep about that. Sign up for those men's and ladies. We've got, again, options there for you, morning and evening. All the information is in the bulletin and at the Welcome Center. So again, sign up for those. And today is the last day for that. So try to get that signed up for if you have not yet. I'm sorry? No, the 24th and the 26th. So the morning is the 24th and the evening is the 26th. Again, and we'll try to send reminders out to remind you guys about that through the app if we can, but it'll be on the calendar as well in the calendar of events on the app. So also, just a reminder, we have our You've Been Egged outreach, and so this is going on, so don't forget about this. I love seeing some more names on the sign up there. So You've Been Egged is simply just that. You sign up to get some eggs that you are going to go then egg someone's yard in your community. It could be a neighbor, it could be just a work friend, a family friend, it could be family members, whatever it might be. It's just a way to encourage somebody this Easter season to come on out and worship with us. It can be anyone, but we would encourage you to maybe egg someone if you know that they're not in a church right now, that they may or may not know the Lord. That's really what kind of this is kind of for. If you know somebody's connected to a church and loves their church, they're serving, they're connected, that's fine. We're not necessarily trying to egg those individuals. It's more for people either you don't know, they're just a neighbor and you never had that conversation, that's the way to do that, or it's somebody that you know is not in church. That's really what this is for. So again, you'll pick up the eggs on Palm Sunday. And then between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, you need to egg them. There's a flyer that will go with the eggs that explains everything you're doing. Again, you don't have to let them know you're coming ahead of time. It can be just a fun thing you do. Sandra and I, when we did this a couple years ago, we egged our neighbors when we realized we waited for them to leave. And then they left and we went and egged their yard. We were pretty new to the neighborhood. And we didn't realize that the little boy, because I think the egg sat there for a little while. A couple hours later, here comes the grandson. And now he's out there getting the egg. So it didn't go over quite like we hoped it would. But it was still a lot of fun. So we had a good time with that. But it's a great way to just kind of build those conversations, have those conversations today, build those relationships again. So be sure to sign up for that. Don't forget, Grief Share starts up Monday, March 30th. A couple locations there. If you have any questions, you can see Julie, Lynn, Rhonda, or Dale. They can give you information on it or call the office. We'd let you know more about that. Roller skating event. This is the last day. Now we say this. Yes, you can still sign up after this. But this is the last day. We really want to encourage you to sign up by the end of today so that we can start looking at a count and figure out how many we're expecting for pizza and all those kind of things. The earlier we get that count to them, the easier it is for them. So, but again, if you know someone that Thursday, Friday, hey, I want to go to that event, can I still come? The answer is yes, they can still come. Just try to give us a heads up if you can, all right? It's $10, super inexpensive afternoon. It covers your skating and your pizza and soda. And again, if you are not skating or eating, you don't need to pay. You can just come and hang out. That's totally fine as well. Baptism Sunday is going on April 5th, which is Easter morning, so we definitely want to encourage you to be a part of that. If you have not been baptized following your salvation, we would love to have a conversation about that. And if you know someone that maybe you've had a conversation with them and they've expressed interest in wanting to be baptized, that would be awesome too. 30 pieces of silver offering. This is coming up again, Palm Sunday. And I didn't share this morning, but it's so cool. Our quilting group. We have little pouches from like 20 years ago, 25 years ago, whenever these things were originally made. I don't even know when they were made. I found them in a box in the office. It said there was 300 of them. I opened the box. There was like 65 of the pouches. So I don't know what happened to the rest of them, but apparently over years, they just vanished. And so we wanted to have at least a few, about 100 or so, just to make sure we had enough. And so I talked to the quilting ministry, And they were like, that's an easy little project. We can take care of that for you. So they went ahead and made a bunch for us and stuff too. So love that. I love that they're cycling through and helping other ministries, of course. But again, 30 pieces of silver. You pick up a little pouch on Palm Sunday, bring it back on Easter Sunday filled with 30 pieces of silver. Again, nickels, dimes, quarters, all those kind of things, that kind of silver. And then we'll collect that on Easter morning. And then all of that's going to go to missions. Okay. We right now don't have a specific thing our missionaries need that we're like, hey, want to give this to them for that. We are kind of collecting it all. And then what we're going to do is as the Lord gives us a opportunity to use that for missions, to help one of our missionaries or a family that needs something, one of our missionary families, then we'll kind of utilize it for that. But this way we can kind of have that on hand ready to go. So we'll take time during that morning on Easter to collect that offering. And so the kids will be in here because it'll be before junior church is dismissed. And so we'd love to see families and the kids get involved in this. It's such an easy way to let them, you know, break out. Obviously the Lord was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Also, Word of Life costume night, don't forget, is Wednesday, March 25th. So that's coming up. Is that this Wednesday? No, next Wednesday. Yep, two Wednesdays. Okay, so don't forget about that. Dinner for six. Tonight is the last night or time you have to sign up for that. So if you haven't done so yet and you would like to, go ahead. Don't forget, right after service tonight, the teens have their snack. They're up at Bible study, so hopefully they have a great time tonight. And then March 22nd, so next Sunday, Secret Sister questionnaires are due. So if you haven't grabbed one yet, ladies, they're out at the lift table out there. Fill out the part you need to fill out, turn that back in, and then they will divvy out all the Secret Sisters sometime at the end of March or beginning of April. So again, it's a great way to just encourage other ladies in the church and have some fun with it, kind of the whole Secret Sister thing. So so if you do fill out a questionnaire, don't tell anybody because it's a secret, okay? Unless you don't really care, and then you can tell everybody. Then whatever, it's your thing. So, all right, and then, yes, I think that's all I have. Lots of stuff going on, so we're excited for all the Lord is doing. We'll go ahead and open in prayer. So we'll take just a few minutes, any prayer requests or praises before we go into prayer. Obviously, think of all those with the storms Friday and power outages and all that craziness and what's going on up north and all that stuff. So obviously, we're just thinking of those that are either in our community or around our state that are still kind of dealing with the fallout from all that. So be praying for that, of course. But any other prayer requests or praises before we pray? Yeah, Avi. Amen.
So that's awesome, but it's not just for me. It's like for every single church member that always goes through something that, like, not just this decade or this century, but all the centuries that have always gone. Like, can you imagine what a comfort to so many millions
sure.
of people that's been?
Yeah, amen.
And it's just such a praise that God is just always there, like our rock. He's so steady. So I'm so thankful for the Lord because I don't even know what I would be doing without him.
Absolutely.
So, and then I'm just so thankful for this church body. They've done so much.
Amen.
Like, they've just been like bombarding me with all of their help and
amen.
Just different people have shared different things, and I'm just really thankful for that. So
amen.
And then I'm struggling a little bit as well. So mostly Kevin has been putting my stuff out into the garage, but then like yesterday I got there and I had to like take some myself, so it was the first time in myself packing some stuff up, so it was a little bit sad.
Yeah. Yeah, let's be praying for Avi as she continues this process and this change. I can't imagine how difficult it's been and is currently. But I love what you said, that the church is that constant. No matter what we go through, it's the body, right? And that's why the word says it's a family. It's we're coming together as one. If one rejoices, we all rejoice. And if one weeps, we all weep. And I've never understood that until I've spent some time in ministry with the church. Because you come in on a Sunday morning and you got one couple and one family that are rejoicing in a new baby, a new grandchild, and you've got another person that's grieving the loss of a loved one. And that all happens in the body. And so what a blessing we to come alongside each other in those different seasons. And again, things that we've gone through that now, years later, we can share with others, right? And how God has gotten us through that. So let's be praying for Avi as a praise. Thank you for the church and all that you guys have been doing and continue to do. But pray for Avi as she continues this process of transition, and want to pray for the Lord's hand upon her in that. Absolutely. Anyone else? Julie.
For our military and for those additional six, I think it was yesterday or the year before, that lost loved ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fathers, sons, daddies.
So. Yeah. Yeah, be praying. There's many that are being moved around and repositioned life or lost loved ones in service to the country and all of that. So I'm going to be praying for all of that. Obviously, the whole situation overseas and wisdom and that God would work in a mighty way. We think of the church local, but also the church in Iran, the church in those surrounding countries, that they're able to have a hand in helping one another through such a crazy time. I can't imagine living in an environment like what those people are having to live in right now, just the unknown every single day. So just be praying for the church there as well. Absolutely, yeah. Anyone else? A prayer request or a praise? Chris.
As many of you know, I was born 4.5 score.
Three score. Careful now. Don't go, you know, you don't want to try to add to the clock here.
Well, I just want to praise the church for all the birthday wishes I got, man.
Oh, amen. Yeah, amen.
That to have a church family like this is great.
Oh, amen.
And to piggyback on what Avi said, it's so nice to see this church growing.
Mm, yeah, amen.
And the kids there.
Yeah. 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 No, amen.
It's really great to see all that.
Yeah.
I just want to thank the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, well, happy birthday to you. I would sing, but you don't want that, so that's not a birthday gift, so you don't want that. But, no, praise the Lord. I love what you shared there, that for the people to reach out and just be an encouragement, and for seeing what the Lord's doing, it's amazing. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Amen. Anyone? Yeah, Dennis. Oh, amen. That's amazing. A great grandfather. You don't look a day over 25. I don't know how that's possible. Yeah, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyone else? Oh, back there. Got a hand. Okay. Okay, Dad's flying in from Florida. Okay, is that today? Oh, wow, okay. Okay, let's be praying for that. As Lonnie's heading back from Florida, let's pray for a safe flight and to land and that the storms don't have no issues with the storms or anything. I want to pray for that, of course. Thank you for that. Anyone else? Yeah, Dave. Yes. Oh, amen.
So anyway, just pray
that we're able to do that. Yes, night as a whole, that those guests will feel loved and encouraged. For all those that are serving, all those that are working, praise for Barb doing such a great job overseeing that for us and all the invitations that go out. Her and Kelsey were busting it out a couple hours in the afternoon one time in the office. And so lots going out there. Liz and Dom, as they're doing the food for that. And so everything is done in-house. And so we love that. So and I love his ownership of that, our widow's banquet. I love that. Yeah, that's what it's all about. So yeah, be praying for that and all the musicians and singers and whoever's going to be doing all of that stuff, of course. You know, we never really know year to year, but always excited for that as well. So be praying for those special guests as they come in and worship together, that we can love and encourage them. Absolutely. Anyone else before we pray? Okay, Britt.
Joe is visiting churches right now.
Amen.
Pray that he finds a Bible-believing church that he can get plugged into.
Yes, yes. Amen. Amen. Yes, pray for Joe as he continues to seek out a church. The Lord has just opened a door there. Claudette, did I see your hand for a second? Wow, I just totally put you on the spot. Sorry, Claudette. I thought I saw a hand, so I was like, just calling it out. Claudette's like, why'd you say anything? All right, Lynn.
I just went to the doctor the other day. He wants me to go to a cardiologist. So just prayers that he thinks it's nothing.
Okay. Okay, yeah, absolutely. I think that's definitely worth praying for. Yeah, so let's be praying for Lynn's upcoming appointment with the cardiologist. The doctor doesn't think there's anything too concerned about, but just want to make sure. So we want to be praying for the Lord's hand, and that, of course, want to be praying for that as well. All right, well, let's go ahead and pray, and we'll jump into the Word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather and to worship you, and Lord, just to be together as the body, as was talked about already, Lord, just the blessing it is and the strengthening and the encouragement it is to us individually. Lord, to just be around one another as we go through all the various seasons and trials of life. And Lord, we just pray that you'd work in each way as you see fit. Father, just thank you for your love, your grace, your unending mercy. And I pray that we would just worship you accordingly. Father, we pray for these requests, Lord. We pray for Lynn, that you just be with this upcoming appointment with the cardiologist. Lord, it doesn't sound too serious, but we just pray you give the doctors wisdom, and we pray that there is no issues, Lord, and you just give a peace of mind through this appointment. And Father, we do think of our servicemen and women, all those who are in our armed services, Lord, whether they're here, whether they're overseas, whatever they may be doing, Lord, they've made a decision to serve the country, and we pray you'd bless them for that. Watch over them, keep them. Lord, just allow, again, wisdom to prevail among the leadership of all those involved in this conflict that's going on. But Lord, you're not really surprised by this, because there's conflict in the world at all times from Genesis 3 forward. We see example after example of the brokenness and the fallen nature of our world. And so, Lord, we pray that you would work in it and work through it, that your gospel would go forth and your glory would be known. Father, we pray that you would just continue to be with those who have lost loved ones in this conflict, both in our military. Lord, also we think of the families in the Middle East. So many that have lost loved ones, or whatever the situation may be, Lord. Whenever there's war, there's casualty. And we may not agree with those mindsets and ideals of those that are fighting on one side of this conflict. But Lord, those individuals still have family, still have loved ones that may have nothing to do with any of this. And so Lord, I just pray in all of that, that you would work in a mighty way. Be with the church in those regions, that again, you'd strengthen the church, that the gospel would go forth. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for, again, the church. We thank you for the blessing that the church has been able to be to Avi in this time of endurance. Lord, I just pray your comfort, your grace would be with her, your strength, your endurance. Lord, as she walks through the season, I pray, Lord, that you would just guide her and direct her. I pray that she would be full of your joy, even in difficult seasons, Lord, that we would find that joy to be that constant. And Lord, again, that your glory would go forth from this, that you would work in a mighty way, and you would do the work that needs to be done in whatever way, Lord, through this process, and that from this you would draw just everyone involved closer to you. Lord, we do think of Kevin, Lord. We just pray you'd work in his heart as well and draw him close to you as well. And Lord, just do a work there. Father, we do think of the praises today for Chris's birthday and just his thankfulness for the love that he has received. And we thank you for being a part of a church like that. Lord, that we continue to see the opportunities to just love one another, encourage one another, Lord. Father, we thank you for Dennis and just the praise of his first great-grandchild. We just pray that you continue to allow that little one to grow strong and to one day come to know you as Lord and Savior. So Lord, we just pray you'd work in that, and just thank you for that blessing you've given him. Father, we think of Lonnie as he is returning from Florida. We just pray that you would give safety there and help him to get home safely and give the pilots wisdom and awareness. And Lord, just again, thank you for how you're going to take care of him, Lord, and just be with that situation as a whole. We think of our community. We think of our state, Lord, with all these crazy storms all over the place, and Friday with the winds and maybe some still without power. Lord, just pray that you'd work in all of that. And Lord, just help those who are in need to be provided for. And again, bring your glory from all of this. Lord, we pray that you would just be with us tonight, Lord, as we spend time together in your word. Pray that you would be glorified. Lord, as we think of these different things we've talked about tonight, we also think of Joe, just with the praise that he is seeking out a church Lord, we pray you'd open the right doors of the right church, that you laid on him and his wife's heart where they need to be, Lord, that they could be fed and strengthened, and that he would thank you for all of this and just be with our time together. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Matthew chapter 13. And this is, we did start this chapter last week. So if you were here last week, you have a handout. You are good. If you were not here last week, I do have a few extra. So if you need one, raise your hand and I can get you one. If you need a handout from Matthew chapter 13, and it'll say Matthew chapter 13 right at the top, Parables of Christ. Parables of Christ. So she beat you. Anyone else? Oh, over here. Anyone else? All right. All right. Oh, do you need one way in the back where I just was, Danielle? I was like, for a second I thought, maybe she's just messing with me, because that wouldn't be abnormal. So she like waited. As soon as he gets to the front, I'm going to raise my hand. All right, Matthew chapter 13. So we started talking about this last week. So this is the parables of Christ. Again, he's beginning to teach in a different way than what he had been teaching like up to this point. And again, we talked through why that is. I'm just trying to get to the first page in my notes. It's not coming apart. Separate. Okay. So we talked about this a little bit there, that he opens with in those parables. He begins to teach with the four soils. And so we talked about that. We did not really define those or explain those too much. We talked about what it said in the text. And then after that, we realized that we would come to that in the text. Then he talked about this phrase that is so important with the parables of Christ, the idea of that if you have an ear to hear, let him hear. And that phrase is so important because it's pointing to the responsibility of the one hearing to put in the word that. Then in verses 10 through each in parables, we talked about the fact that there's a few reasons given. God has chosen to reveal the mysteries or the secrets of the kingdom to the apostles. So that's part of God's plan. They will and do reveal these things to the church in due time. Also, we talked about the fact the hearts of the people were hardened against the word. They were willfully ignorant of the truth. They did not want to hear the truth, so they're ignorant of it. And then also to fulfill prophecy. We talked about Isaiah 6:9 and Psalm 78:2. So we said these references and these reasons is why Jesus began to teach in parables. We pick up in chapter 13, verse 18. So chapter 13, verse 18. And we're going to read down to verse 23. So verses 18 through 23, if I can get a volunteer who would like to read, that would be great. Love to have you guys get involved with that. So who would like to read that for us? Verses 18 through 23. Avi, awesome, thank you.
As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30.
Awesome. Thank you, ma'am. So here we have the four soils explained. In the beginning of the chapter, he gives the parable, the teaching of the four soils, and now he explains them. This is the parable of the four soils, the parable of the sower, different names for the same parable. So number one in your notes there, the first one that he explains is one who hears the word but does not understand. Hears the word but does not understand. Again, also known as the hard soil. They hear the word, but immediately allow the enemy to take it away. This taking away is not a loss of salvation because the seed is not received. It falls on the hard path waiting to be consumed by the birds. So it's I hear it, but I don't really understand it. I don't really take it in. It's just kind of, I'm hearing it, but I'm not receiving it. And because I've heard it, but not received it or understood it, in a sense, the enemy, not meaning in a literal sense where he enters the heart of the person and removes it. It's just saying that in a sense, he kind of snatches it away. And how does the enemy snatch it away? By filling that person's attention with other things. By luring that person away from those things. And so again, the first example of the hard soil is somebody who hears but does not understand. Number two, another example is the one who hears the word, receives it with joy, but does not take root. So this is somebody who hears the word, receives it with joy, but it does not take root. They receive the word, but there's no root to it. This is also known as the shallow ground. They might make an emotional response, but as time goes on, their interest lessens, and they do not continue due to tribulation or persecution. John 8 and 1 John 2 make this known. This could be the soil where the prosperity gospel thrives. So this is the idea that I hear the word, I receive it in a sense of emotional. Like, that sounds really good. I like it. I make some level of a surface profession and say, oh, I believe that. But as time goes on, the seed that was sown didn't really take root. There's no substance. There's no depth to it. It's just a surface kind of a feel-good type response. Like, that sounds good. The Bible says that God wants me to be happy all the time. And if I love Jesus, he's going to always take care of me. Something like that. And I go, oh, yeah, I like that. That sounds good. But when persecution comes and trials come, the Bible says that that person will begin to kind of fade away, right? Because there's no depth, there's no root, there's nothing grounding them in Christ. And that's why I said the prosperity gospel thrives here, because the prosperity gospel is all about health, wealth, feel good. God's that genie. God's that vending machine. You put in your prayer and he always gives you what you want. Like that's that message. And so I think this soil kind of makes me think of that type of preaching and teaching. It's where you go to church and you hear verses and you go, cool, that sounds good. I like that. And even when verses are taught in context, man, God loves you. I like that. That sounds good. God takes care of his children. I like that. But when we hear things like, but there's trials and persecutions, and if you love God and you walk in this world, you will face tribulation. Oh, I don't like that. I don't want to receive that. So they receive it in a sense of an emotional response or some type of surface response, but no roots, right? Also, in the Holy Land, I found this interesting when I was reading through some things. In the Holy Land, there are areas where there is limestone covered with a thin layer of soil. So there's limestone covered by a thin layer of soil. When seeds fall on this, the shoot can go up quick, but cannot take root. So because of that thin layer of soil, the plant might shoot up really quick and start to shoot up and go, oh, there's growth here, but it can't go into the ground. So it's not true depth, true growth. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. Again, thinking about Jesus teaching this parable among the culture he was in, the agricultural type mindset. Number three, the seed is sown. This person hears the word, but it's choked out with the cares of this world. They hear but are consumed by worldly cares. This is also known as the crowded soil. The crowded soil. This heart is the closest to salvation, but still falls short. Like a garden, the weeds of this world choke out the seed. Now, we're going to unpack this in just a moment. This is something that in this specific context, there's only one soil that's considered a salvation example. The other three are not salvation examples. They are examples of those who get ever so close and fall short. Because only one soil produces fruit. And the response of being a follower of Christ is we will produce fruit. Specifically, what kind of fruit? Fruit of the Spirit. And so here, this idea I think we see this in the lives of Christians, the idea of being choked out by the cares of the world, but not in the specific context we see here. So just kind of throwing that out there. Specific context, this, in my opinion, is speaking of somebody who's so close to salvation, but lets the cares of the world, the concerns of the world, all the things around them kind of choke out the seed. They're interested, they kind of are thinking about it, but then the thoughts of others, or I had somebody tell me one time, they were really wanting to believe. They wanted to trust in Christ. But they said to me, but I don't know what, and this was an adult. This wasn't like a kid. This is an adult, probably in their 30s, said to me, but I don't know what my parents will say. And not because their parents were this like super controlling. This person had a great relationship with their father, but he knew he knows his father does not believe and does not think very highly of Christians. Thinks they're kind of foolish and, you know, not very smart or intellectual. And so his concern was, if I do that, if I believe and trust in Christ and I tell my dad that, he's still going to love me, but he's not going to have the same relationship with me. Well, what did Jesus say? I don't think I come to bring peace, but I bring a sword of division between family members. And this is what he was wrestling with. I want to believe, but I love my dad. And I don't want to see that relationship change. And I know if I do this, he's going to think, you're an idiot. Like, you're being so foolish. It's unwise. And so in a similar sense, there's these concerns of the world. There's these weeds that creep up around us. And it can start to choke out the gospel. Now, as a Christian, one who has come to Christ, we know that the wheat and the tares grow what? Together. And so, of course, there's concerns. I've heard more in the last probably 10 years where more Christians have been overwhelmed with fear of the world and the things in the world. It's choked out their biblical worldview. And this is where we see some of the concerns. We think worldly concerns, we think money, wealth, of course, that's part of it. But also, the world lives in fear. The world tries to control and gets panicked when they can't. Followers of Christ, we do not act in fear. We don't live in fear. Why? Because we have a God who is on his throne. In our membership class, we were talking about some things, and I asked about one of the benefits that come from basically knowing the Lord and having a relationship, and somebody said, confidence. I thought that was such a good answer, right? That confidence in knowing who's on the throne. And no matter what happens, he's got this. But as Christians, in a sense, what can happen? It's not that our salvation gets choked out, but that dependence on the Lord, that trust, that peace, that joy, it starts to creep in. And it's subtle too, isn't it? Listen, I said it this morning. I tend to be one who can worry easy. Sandra is a saint for dealing with me for so many reasons. But this weekend specifically, I don't know how many times I said to her, oh my goodness, Sunday morning, we're supposed to have freezing rain. Like, there's no one's going to come to church. Like, what are we going to do? Like, are we going to have this? Are we going to do that? This was Friday afternoon. I was already running through, okay, what do we do with this? And what do we do with that? And what about this? And what about that? Anthony's car had a little coolant leak we found early in the week. All week. He left today. All week. I'm like, what are we going to do? He's going to run out of coolant in the middle of the road. What are we going to do then? I got to go get him. And that's going to be this hour away. This is what I can do. But you know what the Lord is so gracious in doing? Why are you panicking? Like, does God get worried? Does God ever get anxious? Why? Okay, because he's God. You go ahead and say it, Julie. Because he's
in control.
Right. Why do I worry? Because I'm not in control. But the Lord is in control. And so in that regard, he never worries. So as his son, should I worry? No, I should never worry. Why? He's my father and he's in control. Jeff?
He's also gracious in giving you an
elevator. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, Sandra will admit this is true. We both will worry about things at different times. And isn't it so crazy how that works? Like, one minute you're like, this isn't going to work out. It's all going to fall apart. You're freaking out. And then your spouse says, listen. Now, she's very gracious. She's like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you know, floats into the room on air. And she's like, oh, glowing. You know, she's just this aura around her. Yes, yes. Everyone can picture it, Sandra. They know it's true. But she comes into the, you know, we'll have a conversation and she'll ground me in that, right? She'll be like, no, listen, it's fine. This is going to work. This. And then other times she's coming to a situation where she's feeling that pressure, right? And she might be sharing some things. And how good is it in that moment? God has given me the ability that I'm not in a situation where I'm panicking and I can speak truth. And so you're absolutely right. What a blessing that that is. I don't know. I kind of drudge in. I'm like, oh, here we go. I don't float. There's no floating. But it's, again, what a blessing, right? And so, again, we don't need to fear. But what happens? We get so caught up in all this constant. It's amazing to me, media, the power of media. And when you allow yourself to be bombarded with all of that, and I don't care what station you watch or who you listen to, they're selling you on negative news, right? What's going to get you to turn back in? I want to hear what's going on. And when they kind of lay a little fear thing, a little scare tactic, you're like, oh, what? I got to find out what's going on. I'm not saying we don't watch the news or know what's going on, but be careful. No matter who you listen to, they want ratings. And they know fear sells, right? And if we don't, we get bombarded by, and what happens? We start to get choked out. Let this time in the word and time in the prayer greatly outweigh your media intake, whatever it is in the Lord.
I have to focus on God's promises that he's already shown us.
Yes.
And what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't, I'll let that get to me.
Yes. Yep. Yep, absolutely. Avi, did I see your hand first?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
There was no television, there was no radio,
mm-hmm.
right? So you didn't have access to every horrible thing that was going on in the world simultaneously.
Yes.
Every day of the week.
Yes.
Three times a day.
Yeah, yep.
And I don't think that that is a good thing that we have that.
Right.
So, I mean, during COVID, when that first started, I needed to turn to now.
Mm-hmm.
Like it came like I was very intentional about it, and I've not gone back.
Mm.
Because it was like, when they started showing, like, and I don't even know if it was true or not, but they were showing, I think in Italy, same thing with World War II, where they had like mass grave burials.
Yes.
Where they were pushing bodies into like huge pits. And I'm like,
yeah.
I cannot watch this anymore.
Yeah.
It just was too heartbreaking.
It's overwhelming.
It
yes.
It's like, so overwhelming.
Yes.
And then that kind of reminds me of, I know all these like cliche sayings, but they're so true if you think about them. The one that says, stop telling, you know, God how big your problems are and start telling your problems how big
God is. Yep.
Because it's just like, that is, when you start knowing that and knowing, like, be still, like that in the Greek is shut up. That's
mm-hmm.
what it means. It doesn't mean like, oh, contemplate your navel. No, it's shut up because I'm God and yeah. I got this.
Yep.
Like, I do know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I am allowing these things for a reason, for my glory and for your good. I am working all things out.
Yep. Yep.
Nothing escapes my notice. Nothing escapes my, you know, or like just read a little bit of Job. Where were
yes.
you
when
I
yep.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And you're all angsting about all this, and it's just like, I spoke, and things come into existence.
Yeah.
So let's like remember who our God is, and what he can do, and what he is doing, and through social media, and the radio, and the TV. I mean, you know, it's it is good not to be completely ignorant, but I don't know that it's so healthy to be constantly.
Oh, no, I agree.
Happening all the time.
And yes.
I used to be, or was, up until COVID, like, oh, what's happening in the news?
Yeah. Right. I agree 100%. I think there is definitely a trend there. The more, because now you hear about something happening halfway around the world within minutes, and you see video of it and everything else. And I do agree. I just question the consistent, continual consuming of that, what that does to us. And again, we start to feed for it. We start wanting more and more of it. Absolutely. And I agree with what you said there. I don't think it is healthy to consume that 24/7. It's a lot.
Twenty
and 24 hours around the cross specifically.
That's
yep.
I added.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, that's what gives me comfort is just as we read through the word and we study the word, look at all the prophecies that they said was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
To the point.
Yeah, yeah. The name of the city, the exact location.
The name of
yeah.
The person, yeah. You know, the king.
Yeah, Cyrus. Yep,
you know,
yeah.
many hundreds of years later came true.
Yeah.
Just as God said.
Yep.
That gives me comfort knowing that in the chaos of the world,
yep.
in the unknown, is that we know, and he's so gracious, he gave us his word, so
yes.
we know
yep.
what's coming.
Yep.
We really shouldn't be surprised.
Right, right.
And we have the confidence that he's in control, and no matter what, we are going to spend eternity
yes.
with him if we're his.
Yep.
It's the small foxes, the leaky radiator.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The different...
Small things that
yeah,
wear on us, yeah.
That we
yep.
Get,
yep,
know,
absolutely.
It's the small
yep.
things. Because you can say, okay, God's in control of this crisis.
Yeah.
Anyway, for me, God's in control of this. And praise God, if he raptures me, praise God. If I die, if I get,
right.
you know, whatever happens,
yep.
praise God, I'm with him.
Yep.
Exactly.
Amen.
But it's those small little annoying things
yep.
that can
yep.
cause us to worry.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think it was Alistair Begg that I heard say, like, our belief in providence is challenged most when things seem to fall apart. It's easy to say God is providential and he's taking care of it when everything's going great, when everyone's healthy, when everyone's fine, and there's no problems. And we're like, yeah, God is providential. But then when things go a little sideways to our wants, then it's like, is God really like that? So again, which I think is a great point. Yeah, that's the Old Testament. Yep.
Why are you not taking care of us?
Yeah.
Oh, he just let us, help us escape
from bondage and slavery. Yep. Yep. So again, so in context, bringing this back to our text, you guys were great. That was awesome. Because it's something I see a lot in my own life. I hear people say in their own lives, this is an example of that. Just be careful, because in context, this is actually speaking to the seed of the gospel not taking root in someone's life because it was choked out by the cares of the world. As a Christian, we know we have Christ, but we do recognize that our joy in the Lord, our peace in the Lord, our calmness in the Lord, whatever you want to say, can be seemingly choked out by the things in this world. Number four, the last soil we see here, here's the word. Understands it, and his life brings forth fruits. So they hear the word, they believe it, and keep it, and it produces fruit. They believe it, the word, keep the word, and it produces fruit. The point is, this is an evident salvation. There's evidence of this salvation. 1 Peter 1, verses 22 through 25 speaks to this evident salvation. 1 Peter 1, 22 through 25. Again, in these four soils, only one produced fruit. This reveals that only one soil was truly converted by the seed it received. So why is the word compared to seed? Why does Jesus choose this analogy? Warren Wiersbe writes, because the word is living and powerful, Hebrews 4:12. Unlike the words of men, the word of God has life in it, and that life can be imparted to those who will believe. So the word of God has life within it. It has intrinsic life. It's a living word. And when it's received by us, it imparts that life to us through salvation. So now we see kind of a transition. So Jesus now kind of resumes his parabolic discourse, which is the term that's used for this teaching in parables in this chapter. He does this with the multitude. From verses 10 through 23, we see it appears to be more of a private conversation with the disciples. So 1 through 9, we see he's teaching, right? And then 10 through 23, he seems to be talking to the disciples because they ask and he's like, well, it's given to you to know these things. He didn't say that to the crowd. He says that to the disciples. He talks about the example. Well, what does it mean, these four soils? Well, this is what it means. So verses 24 through 35 and 44 through 50. Let's see, where's that going to put us? Because we're like about 10 minutes from being done. I think we'll be okay. You guys got nothing to do, right? Cool. Okay. Thanks for answering. Okay. So 24 through 35. It's a little bit of a longer text. So we'll break that one up, maybe 24 through 29 and 30 through 35. So two volunteers for that portion. 24 through 29. Who'd like to read that for us? Julie, awesome. 30 through 35. Who'd like that one? 30 through 35. Sandra? I don't know if that was a hand raise or what that was, but it was close enough. I know. She was like, don't call me. Don't. Yeah. And then 44 through 50. 44 through 50. Who'd like to read that portion for us? 44 through 50. I know it's a lot, but we're going to kind of cover quite a bit of ground in a sense. Avi, awesome. So this is talking to the parables of the kingdom of heaven. The parables of the kingdom of heaven. That's why we're kind of jumping ahead to another portion that covers that as well. So 24 through 29. Go ahead.
He put another parable before them, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have wheat? Then do you want, said to them, an enemy has done this. So the servants said to him, then do you want to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them.
Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundations of the world.
And then 44 through 50?
44 through 50, yes, ma'am.
The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. So here we have, again, the parables of the kingdom of heaven. And that phrase is a phrase that Matthew likes to use, the kingdom of heaven. This is, well, the kingdom of God is this and the kingdom of heaven is this. If you look in scripture, they're the same. It's interchangeable terms for the same thing. So of the seven, just as a note, of the seven parables in this chapter, the parable of the sower does not begin with the kingdom of heaven is, as the others do. The reason is because the parable of the sower describes how the kingdom begins. It starts with the seed being received in the heart by faith. So the rest of these are explaining what the kingdom is. The sower describes how the kingdom begins. So number one, the parable of the wheat and the tares. Now we're going to move through this just for time's sake relatively quickly, but we'll come back to it again next week and unpack this some more. The parable of the wheat and the tares. In this age, the kingdom contains both genuine and counterfeit members. Right? That's the idea. There's in the church, there are those who are truly saved and those who are not. The Lord will judge in the end. That's amazing to think about. What a comfort. We don't have to figure that out. Now, we are called to, you know, judge fruit, if you will, and encourage one another. And if we see somebody who's not living for Christ, who professes Christ, we preach the gospel to them, then they may come to know Christ. But we don't have to be sitting at the door checking the box of Christian, unchristian, and making sure we get it right, because if we get it wrong, they're in or they're out. We leave that to the Lord. Number two, the parable of the mustard seed. The point of the mustard seed parable is small beginnings can bring fruitfulness. Small beginnings bring fruitfulness. Our faith will gradually grow, we call this sanctification, as a mustard bush or tree can grow in excess of 10 feet. So from a mustard seed, a small little seed, can grow a tree, or some call it a bush, of 10 feet. So the idea is gradual growth. It takes time, but sanctification takes time. This, we're not getting saved a little over time. We're saved at once, but then we're sanctified. We're made holy completely in Christ and continually through sanctification. So there's growth. Now, quickly, some critics have accused Jesus of not knowing what the smallest seed is. As he says, the mustard seed is the least of all seeds. Just for the record, the mustard seed is not the smallest seed that we know of. Jesus's point was that in the context of that agricultural society, the mustard seed was the smallest they planted. He wasn't saying definitively the mustard seed is the smallest seed, because it's not. He's saying in their culture, he used something in what? Their understanding. And they, that to them, that's the smallest seed they would plant. So he uses that as an illustration. The mustard seed was the smallest they had planted. In later rabbinical thought, the mustard seed was also proverbial for smallness. It was kind of proverbial for smallness. Little, not impressive, not important. Jesus says, no, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed in that it starts small in someone, but what happens? Gradually it grows. And now we see fruitfulness, right? Some fruit, more fruit, much more fruit. Number three, the leaven that is spoken of here. Again, similar, hope you're seeing the connection to these. The leaven, a small amount of leaven will impact the larger loaf. This principle, again, carries over the idea of smallness with great effect. Smallness with great effect as the mustard seed. This leaven infuses with 3 measures of meal, which is a huge amount. This would be enough for 100 to 150 people. So that little bit of leaven could feed 100 to 150 people. I love what the Moody commentary points out. Jesus' small band would have a gradual but wide effect upon the world. Then subsequently, the kingdom would come in full force. He's talking to this crowd, but also these disciples, these 12, which will become 11, then 110, and then thousands of followers of Christ. He's saying to them, it seems like it's just a small little band of fruitfulness. Okay, so it's important that they hear this message, because as they go through the early church, they're going to see people profess and fall away and profess and seemingly not see much growth. Again, we talked about in the membership class tonight, the church at Corinth started in a ruler of a synagogue's home and his family, and then it spread from there. Number four, the treasure in the field. The treasure in the field. The kingdom is worth more than we can imagine. It is worth all we are, which depicts true discipleship, true surrender, giving up everything for him. Number five, the goodly pearl, or the costly pearl. Pearls were considered highly prized in the ancient world and worth pursuit. So there's an evidence of, I'm pursuing this. It's a journey. I'm seeking after more depth in the kingdom. And then number six, the net. The net. This affirms the point of the wheat and tares in that it reveals the encompassing both good and evil, the righteous and unrighteous, the sheep and the goats. So the idea is that there's both, and God will decide. God will decide. And so again, we see these talked about, here. And next week in verses 36 through 43, we'll talk about the wheat and tares explained, because he's going to do that as well. And then we'll see how that applies, obviously, to the rest of the chapter. So again, hope this is an encouragement to you. I hope it's a blessing to you in your walk with Christ. But I'm so thankful that he knows and that I don't have to worry about that, that he is taking care of that. And I also am so thankful that small beginnings can produce great fruit. Because we see ourselves as sometimes very small, inadequate. Who am I, right? How could God ever use me? But he's not using you. He's using the word in you. He planted the seed in you. I don't want to miss that. We didn't sow the seed in ourselves. I didn't go get the seed and go, thank you, I'll take some of that. The sower had to sow the seed in the soil. We're the good soil, and by God's grace, we received that word, and it produced. The sower not sowed it. And because the word was preached, now by the working of the Holy Spirit, we can respond to what he is doing in us, call upon his name, repenting of our sins, and he begins to work through us, right? As we said this morning, it's a similar illustration. That Holy Spirit flowing out of us into the lives of others, it's a similar idea. When he talks about the mustard seed creating this great tree, again, excess of 10 feet tall, what does he say can happen there? The birds will take up residence, basically, in the tree. It's providing is the idea. It's not for us. The fruit that God produces in us by the Spirit is not for us. It blesses us. It helps us. It guides us. It strengthens us. But it's for others, right? Hospitality is a fruit of the Spirit. But it's for others. It's so that we can be a blessing to others. And so again, what a praise we get to be used of him in that way for his glory. Let's pray, and then we'll let you guys be dismissed. Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for your word. We thank you for sowing the seed that we could receive the gospel. And Lord, I pray that we would never forget that we didn't do this work of our own, but that we responded merely to what you were doing. And thank you, Lord, for sowing that seed. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come to Christ, to know you, to have a relationship with you, for loving us that much. And Father, as we go through our week ahead, there's going to be those concerns of the world that will want to choke out the joy and the peace and the, Lord, just that intimacy we have with you. I pray that we'd be guarded against it, that we would apply what you say in John chapter 10, that your joy would be in us and it would be full as we abide in you, abiding in your word. So Lord, may you do that work in our lives this week. Thank you, Lord, that although we feel small, we feel insignificant, we're one voice, maybe in our workplace or even in our home or our community, what could we possibly do? I'm so thankful, Lord, that you don't need the loudest voice. You don't need the most educated. You don't need the most talented in the world's eyes. All you need is simple faith. Just putting our faith in you and stepping out and speaking up and sharing our faith with someone. And then that small beginning, the fruit is overwhelming. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And you control that, Lord. But no matter what the fruit is, it's for your glory. Father, again, go with us as we go our separate ways. Give us a great week ahead. And all that we find ourselves doing. And again, be with the snack night tonight. Pray you just bless their time together. And again, thank you for all that you do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, thank you guys for coming out tonight. We'll see you Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Have a great week.